Moving on to action item number 15, report and possible discussion on legislative update. Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
I feel very unfortunate for those of you that came to the customer meeting. Not that it's bad that you came to the customer meeting, it's just that you're about to get a very similar legislative briefing as you did then. Because unfortunately, I can't change history. So it's going to be strikingly similar with the exception of a couple of slides. The bottom line is this past session was dominated by the voter ID issue. It pretty much touched on everything that the legislature did, so much so that it was actually responsible for killing hundreds of pieces of legislation towards the end of session. This past session, the Ledge filed about 1,500 more bills during the filing period than they did last session, but they ended up passing about 50 or 60 less. So that tells you at some point there was just a log jam, and that log jam was the voter ID issue. I won't get into a whole lot of detail about how that bill evolved and made it through the process. I'll just talk about how it ended. At the end of session, the voter ID bill was placed on the House calendar with about 5 days left in session to pass bills. This little graphic represents what the House calendar looked like at that time. Basically, what the opponents to the voter ID bill decided to do was run out the clock on the voter ID bill. They were going to do whatever they could to delay the process such that the voter ID bill never got brought up. And so they engaged in the legislative art of what's known as chubbing, which is sometimes what we do up here. But it's basically talking excessively and excessively and excessively until you basically delay action on pretty much anything else. It's stalling the process. And so they did that. They basically used the hundreds and hundreds of bills that were on the House local calendar, which usually go very quickly. Usually a House local calendar takes a couple of hours. But in this case, they talked about every one of those bills for about 10 minutes, 9.5 minutes apiece, and chubbed and chubbed and chubbed for the last 5 days of session. When they did that, they basically lit the fuse on the voter ID bill. It blew up and killed everything else with it, because what you have to know is that in addition to the voter ID bill on the calendar, there were hundreds of other bills on that calendar as well that also didn't get considered because of the delay. So that's when you hear that people say everything died or the voter ID bill killed everything. That's what they mean, because literally toward the end of session, it did kill everything. So let's look at some of the stuff that died. And the difference between this presentation and the one I gave during the customer meetings is I'll talk at least a little bit more in depth about how the death and or passage of these particular pieces of legislation affects BRA. A little bit more in depth on that. One of the bills that didn't pass was a comprehensive eminent domain bill. The Ledge has worked for the past three sessions to pass an eminent domain bill. And it was on the calendar after the voter ID bill, and they never got to it, and it died. The reason that we care about this is obviously we're an entity with eminent domain authority. We never would seek to abuse that power, but as part of our operations at some point, you know, we don't ever want to have to use it, but we may. So we have to make sure that the reforms made to the eminent domain process are not made in such a way to where it makes that process impossible or so cost prohibitive that we can't do it. We helped in some of the negotiations on that bill, and the unfortunate thing is to work toward a compromise three sessions in a row and not quite get it passed. So we're going to have to deal with it again next session. And basically, it starts all over, and you got to protect your backside from the beginning to the end. So it's kind of a wasted effort. Additional bonding authority for Water Development Board. There was a constitutional amendment that would have allowed them to issue additional bonds for water projects as an entity that applies for those kind of projects. Obviously, that's something that we were supportive of and are obviously, you know, it's not a good thing that it did not pass, but it's something that the Ledge will take up again next session. E-Flows cleanup legislation, as you know, during the 80th session, the legislature passed Senate Bill 3, which created a process for determining the environmental flow amounts necessary for each particular river, bay, and basin system. The Brazos system is one of the last entities that will go on that particular process. The purpose of the legislation, the cleanup legislation, was just to clean up some problems that were initially in Senate Bill 3 as it passed that would have made that process more fluid, more understandable for those of us that have to take part in it. So obviously that's not a good thing that it didn't pass. It also moved out some of the deadlines that the current appointed E-Flows committees haven't met. They're actually behind on their deadlines as far as moving forward with the environmental flows process. Sustainable funding mechanism for the water plant. As somebody who takes part in the regional planning process and the state water planning process, we care about the state water plan getting funded by the legislature. For at least the last couple of sessions, they've tried to look at a way to create a funding mechanism, whether it's through tap fees or water rights fees or repealing the sales tax exemption on bottled water, whatever. They've tried to look at a funding mechanism that will continually fund the water plant into the future. They didn't do that again this session. That's obviously something that that's somewhat disappointing for those of us who are banking on the state to fund at least its portion of the water plan. I mean, local and regional entities like river authorities are going to fund the majority of the water plan, but the state does have a share. And until such time as they create a sustainable funding mechanism, they're going to continue to do one-time appropriations, which aren't certain. We never know whether or not we're going to get one. We got one this session. It's about $500 million over the biennium, but we don't know if we'll get another one next session. So that was problematic. Dam safety legislation for TCEQ wouldn't have really affected us that much. It just would have given TSEC more administrative authority over dam safety program, but it died. Numerous groundwater bills. Obviously, since we are looking at groundwater as a source of water, we are concerned with changes made to groundwater districts, what they can do, their permitting process, and the process for determining priority desired future conditions and priority groundwater management areas. It's something that we watch. There were numerous bills that would have at least provided some certainty, a little bit more certainty with regard to groundwater and that process. Those all died in the fray. And then, more importantly, probably the most important bill that died and didn't really affect us in the fact that it died, but it did affect the entire legislative process in the fact that it required a special session, was the Sunset Safety Net Bill. That is the bill that saves agencies from being abolished. In this session, the legislature looked at TxDOT, Department of Insurance, Affordable Housing Commission, Racing Commission, several very large agencies. They were unable to pass sunset legislation for each one of those entities. And so what we need every session is a safety net bill that comes in and catches those agencies, continues them for 2 years until they can come back next session. That bill did not pass, and that alone necessitated the need for a special session, which I'll talk about in a minute. Let's talk about what passed during the regular session, because not everything died. Obviously, there were some stuff that passed. House Bill 1174 allows cities or river authorities to pay damages in the event of a sewer backup. There are certain river authorities that were exempted from this bill. We were not one of them. So what that means is, in the event of a backup of our sewer system, we will have the ability, not the requirement, but we will have the ability to pay damages to somebody whose house was affected by that. So that's something that will affect us in the event that that happens. We hope that it doesn't, but sometimes those events happen beyond your control. House Bill 1433 increases TCEQ water and wastewater permitting fees. We pay TCEQ for both water permits and water rights and for discharge permits at wastewater facilities. They're going to be increasing their fees. As far as the schedule they're going to use to increase their fees, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. We're waiting to see what our fees are going to be increased to, but as an entity that pays those fees, we're going to be paying higher fees, period. And that's the reason that the ledge did that, was to increase TSEC's ability to do its job, considering the fact that it doesn't always have enough funding through its fee programs. House Bill 2663 allows groundwater districts to enforce rules against public entities. We're a public entity. To the extent that groundwater district were to enforce its rules upon us, the bill basically says that they can't. We assume that they could already anyways, but this makes it very clear that they can. House Bill 4231 authorizes bed and banks permits to transfer out-of-state water without the need of a permit. That's AKA Oklahoma water. That's not something that we're looking at, but it does not mean that the bed and banks of the Brazos couldn't be used for it. Don't know that would be practical, but it's possible. House Bill 3031, I don't know what that one's about, but I think it's a pretty big deal. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that one today. House Bill 3032 is the Set Ranch Bill, which obviously allows us to sell some of our unleased property at PK next to the Set Ranch. The process for that, that requires us to put an application on our website within 90 days of the bill's effective date, which would be August 26th. By that date, we have to put an application on our website for those interested in purchasing under that particularly bracketed piece of legislation to come in and fill out that application and provide us with a survey and start the purchase process. After they submit their application, or after we put the application online, they have 180 days to return an application to us. After that point, an appraisal is required, and a disputed appraisal process with several deadlines within that starts. It could take over a year to finalize or finish the sale of that property, depending on how long the appraisal process takes. But we are working toward the implementation of that. I know it doesn't get as much attention as 3031, but it doesn't require as much intensive work. We'll be placing that application on our website by the deadline, I would imagine, or probably before the deadline. Next slide. HJR 14 clarifies the definition of public use for the taking of private property. Again, we have eminent domain authority, so this makes a change to the Constitution. It'll be on the ballot in November. It makes it real clear that private property can't be taken for economic development, so we would not do that anyways, but it's something that we have to watch. Senate Bill 361 is something we will have to implement as an entity that operates water and sewer in Fort Bend County. We will have to, at those facilities where we operate water and sewer, provide a plan in accordance with TCEQ rules to develop or to ensure operations during extended power outages. That could require us to purchase backup generation capacity and figure out ways to make sure that we don't run out of power in those areas. This is basically a result of Hurricane Ike. So that could result in some cost to us depending on the relationship that we have with the entity that we operate the facility for. So that's something we'll be working
Matt,
on. Yes, sir.
I know just recently the counties, or our county, for instance, got money from, I think, the BVCOG or the, you know, Council of Governments to buy backup generators. Are we eligible to tap that fund?
I think that the development of a plan will allow for that to be part of the process. But we will still, in obviously in cooperation with the entities that operate the facility for, we will still have to develop the plan. But that could obviously be part of it. Some sort of mutual sharing agreement or backup generation agreement. Yes, that's allowed for. Senate Bill 2312 doesn't really affect us except for the fact that we do apply for Water Development Board funding, and that bill expands the pool of people that can apply for funding, so it's more competition for the dollars. So it's something that we care about. Bless you. Senate Bill 2314 allows the Water Development Board to adopt rules more expeditiously in the event they receive money from the stimulus package. Obviously, we might apply for certain amounts of funding depending on what's available, so we'll be wanting to watch their rulemaking. It allows them to adopt rules so quickly that, you know, it's going to be something we'll have to watch real closely. Let's go to the next slide. Special session. I won't spend a whole lot of time on this. The governor called a very quick special session on July 1st. It took roughly 36 hours. He called the ledge back for three reasons: to authorize additional TxDOT bonds for road projects, to pass a sunset safety bill to continue those agencies that were going to be abolished, which I talked about earlier, and to address comprehensive development agreements, which is a issue with regard to toll roads. The legislature in 36 hours addressed two of the three issues. The first one was they did authorize TxDOT to issue additional general obligation bonds for transportation projects, and they also passed a sunset safety net bill. The important thing about the sunset safety net bill they passed to us is that between now and 2011, they have moved up the sunset process for TSEC and the Water Development Board. And as an entity that does a lot of business with both of those agencies, between now and 2011, we are going to have to pay very close attention to that sunset process, because the commission is going to look at everything they do. It's going to look at their permitting. It's going to look at their fees. It's going to look at, you know, anything that you can think of. It's going to look at that. It's probably going to create some very omnibus major legislation when you look at two agencies that are that large. And so that'll be something that we'll be paying a lot of attention to in the interim. We don't know exactly when that process is going to start. Usually agencies have to do a self-assessment by September 1 of what would be this year. But because they moved up the deadline on them so quickly, they're giving them an extension and allowing them until, I believe, October 1. They're giving them an extra month to do that process. But we'll be watching that real closely. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Having gone through sunset, they go to stakeholders also, so we'll have to be responding.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, they'll be coming to us because we have permits with TSEC and obviously do business with the Water Development Board.
So what's the timing on the sunset hearings for TCEQ?
Don't know yet. And part of the reason is since they moved up the process, the agencies weren't ready.
Did they move it up?
They moved it up to, they're going to be doing the sunset process between now and session 2011. So it'll be during this interim.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah.
They were originally scheduled to be sunset between 2011 and 2013. Moved them up 2 years, basically.
2 years. Okay.
Moved them up a session. And what they did is they moved the health-related umbrella, all the HHSC and all the DHS, all those health-related agencies, they moved them back, and they moved the environmental-related agencies up.
Is that something that was unexpected?
Somewhat by folks in the water and natural resources community, yes. I don't think they expected that to happen because TSEC and Water Development Board and those agencies are so big and they just didn't expect it to get moved up without that much debate and without really any notice. It just one of those things that happened. And the logic that was given for it is the HHSC is about to have a new commissioner. Albert Hawkins resigned. So that entire umbrella is about to have a new commissioner. How can we put them through the sunset process if they got a brand new guy running the agency? That was the logic that was given.
Okay.
Whether that's exactly the logic, I don't know.
So Matt, in the next session, they're going to be sunsetting TSEC, Texas Water Development Board, potentially TxDOT and TDI?
Yeah, the issue with TxDOT and TDI, though, is those will be limited scope reviews because they already did them the session prior. Whenever an agency's sunset legislation during a session doesn't pass and they get caught in the safety net, usually that two-year extension involves a very limited scope review, and so it won't be as big of a process. Now, the ledge will still have several large pieces of legislation. I mean, obviously, TxDOT's a huge sunset bill when the reforms associated therein, along with TDI, but the Sunset Commission won't be spending a whole lot of time on those agencies between now and next session. But the ledge will have to deal with their individual sunset bills, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. At the pleasure of the board, we're just going to keep going, try and knock out as much as we can today because we're going to have a busy day tomorrow, too. So if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and continue with